Welcome to the Draft Doctors Podcast, your home of weekly draft content. Now here's Steve, Jono, Cam, and the Statesman.
G'day everyone, and welcome back to another episode of the Draft Doctors. I'm your host, Stevie Fizz. If you hear any spewing going on in this episode, it's only because I'm watching our sons get torn apart in what can only be described as a lackluster affair of a Q clash. We had a chance to go into a tie for, I think, sixth spot on the ladder with North Melbourne on deck in bloody Darwin. All the other teams had top four teams who we would have been tied with, but instead we've laid an egg. So it's Hardwick out season. It's Hardwick out. It wouldn't have happened under our Lord and Saviour Stephen King. He wouldn't have allowed that to happen. So we're stuck with this fraud from Victoria. It's disappointing. What can you say? The sooner he's out of town, the better. We can get back to our winning ways that this proud club knows. This, just a tradition of winning on the Suns Gold Coast. Anyway, a pretty interesting week of footy. So a lot of in-game injuries. The salary cappers were just losing their brain, wanting rules changed and the like. I mean, we're just used to it in draft. It's just part of the game. But nonetheless, it does make it disappointing. I had Tom Green captain in keepers, and obviously, you know, it's just a loss. That just happens. We move on. It's all about the process. The results, you know, should follow. But I think the process is important. I think Tom Green was a good captain, so it sucks. I understand it will have cost you your matchup, most likely. But it's not the end of the world. It's a long season. So all we can focus on is making good decisions. I think it was a tough week. I think it's a tough week for the waiver wire. I'm not loving these things. Things have settled down. Whilst there was a lot of injuries, it doesn't sound like there's a lot of serious injuries to the key fantasy players, which is good. So just sort of touch on the matches. Obviously Connor Rozee, it was sort of rumored, was he going to be laid out, all that sort of thing. Luckily, it was the first game of the week, so you got to know he was starting. Obviously, did the ham bone halfway through. Looks set to miss a week. Maybe, I would suspect he's going to miss a couple. So I'd certainly make alternate plans for a midfielder there. There are probably a couple of midfielders you can pick up off the waivers, but again, it's probably not a week I'm super keen. Lockie Jones took a lot of intercepts with a Lear out, so a nice game there. But again, these teams are reasonably settled, I feel, so there's not heaps going on. Saligo, who, you know, it was amazing how he's still only 50% owned, which is just incredible. Won the showdown medal in the Crows win, so good for him. Certainly going pretty well there. Going to Carlton, Collingwood, Zach Williams. It's just time to move on from Zach Williams if you hadn't already. Pretty tough scenes. Obviously, the Matt Kennedy owners would have been a little bit surprised he was subbed, but if you've been listening to this podcast, you know, I haven't been a great fan of being strong on Matt Kennedy in terms of like buying him. I always felt there was better waivers, so he was sub in this game, which was pretty surprising still to me. He did come on, but Adam Chera returned, went straight back into the midfield there for Carlton. And you're going to have Mitch McGovern come back reasonably soon as well for Carlton. So I'm not quite sure where Matt Kennedy fits in all this. Maybe there's a role in defence if everyone keeps falling over, but I still think they'll probably use him forward. Time will tell. It's an interesting... It's just going to keep watch of that situation. Bo McCreary got injured, but probably not fantasy relevant. Jack Crisp got the CBA bump with Tom Mitchell and Jordan DeGoey out. Nick Dacos in there. Scott Pendlebury in there. And a couple other bits and pieces, but Crisp got the main bump. So he had a pretty good game, scoring 93. He's been pretty tough owned, 17 contested, 10 clearances, pretty pretty incredible, really. Yeah, when you consider like Patrick Cripps on the other side. So he's had a big game, Jack Crisp. He's probably not as highly owned as he was before. Collingwood have West Coast next week, so you can look at picking up your Jamie Elliotts. Lachie Schultz maybe isn't. Oh, he's out for a week, so, you know, he's not an option. But Jamie Elliott's probably one to look at there. Sydney GWS, this is the one that killed everyone. Tom Green getting his ankle caught. The good news is it looks like he's only going to, well, it sounds like he's only going to miss a week or maybe not even that. So obviously best case scenario there, given the circumstances. Cogs ended up not getting up for this game. You'd expect him to be all right next week. Cal Ward, pretty strong midfield time, but the guy who got the big bump was James Peatling, who a couple of the other podcasts did flag. Things obviously broke his way with the Tom Green injury, but he rolled out a massive ton, 8 tackles. It's going to be hard to move him on, so they might... they might look to keep him in that role or, it'll be interesting to see how that shakes out. But certainly if you picked up James Peatling as a stream, you kicked it in the dick. Finn Callahan also got a bump in CBAs. Tom McCartan got concussed. Callum Brown got 3 weeks as a result. Lachie Whitfield was tagged by James Jordan to a pretty ordinary score. And it was pretty ordinary conditions for a player like Whitfield, let's be honest. There's never a lot of marks in wet conditions. Luke Parker returned into the NEAFL and had a pretty massive game. So it'll be interesting to see what the Swans do there. Obviously, they've got Tom Carton's going to miss a week, but he's not exactly like for like with Luke Parker. So we'll see what happens there. I think it's pretty interesting. Obviously, you know, there's a lot of social media scuttlebutt about Sam Wicks. You know, there are moves that can happen there. You can't be, I don't know, man. It can't be great adding another gun player to that mix. I mean, it's good for the team, but probably not great for fantasy owners. But, man, it becomes a real monster of a lineup, that Sydney Swans lineup with, you know, Warner, Heaney, Goulden, Rowbottom, Taylor Adams. You know, there's a lot of good players there. And then you're going to add Callum Mills in the second half of the year. Whew. I find it hard to believe Matt Roberts sticks around once, what's his chops is back, Mills, but we'll see. So yeah, there's certainly a couple things going on in that game, but I don't know that massive change is going to come out of it. But I mean, you can keep an eye on James Peatling. It's pretty good performance, onto St Kilda and North Melbourne. So Seb Ross got right back into the CBAs with a big role. Didn't have a massive score. Pretty low TOG. I still think the writing's on the wall for Seb Ross. And they were pretty lackluster in this game before kicking away St Kilda. Shees did get the midfield time, but it was sort of half and half. He had a massive 42 pressure acts, which is just incredible. So serious work rate from Shees all in. And he only had the 24 disposals, but 6 marks, 5 tackles. Obviously, if you're the Sheasel owner, you know, you don't want this, but I find it hard to believe they're going to go away from it. So I think you're going to have to make plans there. Colby McKercher and Zach Fisher had pretty big games, as did Bailey. Well, Bailey Scott had an okay game, but Zach Fisher and Colby McKercher certainly had big games. So if you own those guys, maybe you saw Sheasel moving into the midfield and you picked him up off waivers or made a low ball trade for him. Pretty good, although it was a really favourable matchup in St Kilda, so let's not go crazy. Wardlaw did have a pretty big game, which was nice. Cherry went ham. I was actually expecting Cherry to have a bit of a rough game, so that was interesting. Tom Powell did get back in the midfield. Again, I don't see it with Tom Powell long term, but do they have better options? 1 goal, 4 tackles, 3 marks, 17 disposals. I mean, the contested and the clearances are good, but 47, I'm just not convinced. Jai Simkin, you know, maybe he's still feeling the effects of that concussion, but maybe North just don't have anything else in the cupboard. So we'll see what happens, man. We'll see what happens. But yeah, what have I got written down? Yeah, and it's just strange. Like the key forwards really didn't fire for St Kilda, aside from Jack Hayes. I thought that was really interesting. Like I streamed Owens myself, didn't kick a goal. Max King, only the one goal, 26 fantasy points, pretty crummy. Tim Membry, you know, sub 60 AFL fantasy, just real horror show. And all the goals sort of came from the smalls and the flankers. And so it was kind of a really strange one. Yeah, tough for the streamers, that one. Really, I think the process was good and it just didn't go your way. That's fantasy football, man. That's fantasy football. Geelong and Melbourne. Again, a couple injuries here. Tanner Bruhn getting injured in the first half, and subbed pretty soon after. He was playing midfield, so the midfield for Geelong with Parfitt out and Dangerfield out, and then Bruhn ended up being Jack Bowes, Cam Guthrie, who threw out an absolute pile of shit score, which, you know, probably not going to score as well in the midfielders off halfback for Geelong. And Tom Atkins, although Tom Atkins had a pretty good score with his 11 tackles. So he's back in the midfield. Massive game for him. And he is available on waivers. So with Bruhn getting hurt, we'll see what happens there. Parfitt obviously out and Dangerfield set to miss a few weeks. Tom Atkins becomes a pretty attractive target. Certainly probably more attractive than Jai Clark, who's missed games and been the sub, although he did get the game here, but, you know, probably needed him once Bruhn went out. What else happened there? Not much. Oh, Clayton Oliver's back. Clayton Oliver being back is a good thing, and I think Jaden Papowski tweeted out on Twitter that he has got a pretty favourable matchup in terms of teams that give up points to midfielders who rely on stoppages. So that bodes well if you're the Clayton Oliver owner. I tried to pick him up myself a couple of weeks ago. I was unsuccessful, but that buy low window may be closing before your eyes. Christian Petrarca's buy low window may still be open, though. So, whew, tough times. West Coast and Essendon, we'll go through that quickly. Elliot Yeo, groin injury. They're saying it's at the very low end. But you've got to get out of there, man. You cannot. It's Elliot Yeo. It's a groin. These things, come on, man. If you drafted Yeo, you had a good run. Let's be honest. It's been 8 weeks. That's a pretty good run. Jai Caldwell didn't get a CVA. Got the shoulder injury. So we'll see what happens there with Caldwell. Probably good news for Ben Hobbs. But yeah, pretty tough because Caldwell's been doing pretty good and he was scoring really well in this game as well. So a couple of serious injuries there for the West Coast side. Sheed got some midfield players laid in. So maybe, who knows? I'm not convinced. And Darcy Parrish also had a pretty big game. So a couple of buy low windows closing up there. Let's just check in on our Suns and see how they're doing. Back to 5-goal deficit. That's good. To the Richmond and Freo, Sean Darcy again, calf tightness, sorry. They're saying he'll be fine. It was just awareness, but that's terrifying. It's terrifying, man. If you wanted to go for a buy low on Luke Jackson, I wouldn't blame you. But Richmond is a bit of a shit show, if we're being honest. And I mean, they're down stocks, right? They're down stocks, but 16 clearances to 36. Wow. that's horrendous, man. That is horrendous. That midfield mix is going to change right up, I promise you. Shea Bolton, it's pretty interesting on fan footy. They had the started forward and all. He had 83% CVAs, man. Like, you know what I mean? He was in there. We will get to Presti in the waivers. I can only imagine he's straight back in once he's fit. Because, I mean, you can't win like this. It's just a domination. Hayden Young with a big game through the midfield. 8 clearances. Sarong, 6. O'Meara got clearances. Man, you know, that's tough times. So there's a bit going on there at Richmond. I mean, maybe Baker's a sell high. That'd be an interesting one because there's not many forwards. Baker's average is not looking too bad. And he was playing midfield. We'll see. It's not really selling very high, though. The average isn't amazing, but people are struggling for forwards. Western Bulldogs and Hawks. Hawks with an amazing win. Dylan Moore just absolutely crushing souls in the last few weeks. So well done if you're the Dylan Moore owner. Tom Liberatore, head clash. And then, yeah, a couple of head knocks in this match after coming back from concussion. So it's going to be interesting to see what they do with Libba. Obviously, they need him. He's a good player. But again, it was pretty status quo for a lot of these things. Like, it was Libba, Treloar, Bont, Bailey Dale's on a bit of a tear. Yeah, not heaps to take out of this. I mean, James Sicily got swung forward for a bit. So we'll see. I don't think there was heaps to take out of this match. I thought Cam McKenzie would be a good stream, and he scored 30 and then got subbed off. So, yeah, not great for Cam McKenzie, despite the Bulldogs giving it up on the outside. So sometimes you get it wrong, people. Sometimes you get it wrong. And on to our Gold Coast and Brisbane game. Well, half the Brisbane Lions have, you know, died, but our Suns unable to take advantage of it. Thanks, coach. Jack Lukosius has swung forward. So that's terrible news for the Lukosius owners, especially if you traded into him. Good news if you're the Will Powell owner who is getting a bit of action. So we'll see. There's a few moves being made in this game. But we'll see what the wash-up is at the end of it. Waivers, on to the waivers. Mitch McGovern is my top waiver, 37%, should be back this week. Jeremy Finlayson at 37% ownership. Finlayson plays Geelong. Strangely enough, key forwards actually have a reasonable record against, a reasonable play against Geelong. So it's not the end of the world there. Tommy Atkins, as I said, but he has got a bad matchup first up, 35% ownership. Jamie Elliott against West Coast, 26% ownership. Dom Sheed, 40% ownership. So, how is he 40%? It seems strange. And Dion Prestia at 26%. Yes, there are other players who popped a good score or whatever. Sam Durham's playing midfield if you're desperate. Maybe there's some players for deeper leagues. But I don't think it was a... I just don't see much change this week or much to indicate that there will be things to make moves on. The coming matches, I mean, look, say for defenders, like, you know, playing against Richmond, Western Bulldogs, where you own all those guys already anyway, unless you want, like, say, a Buku Karmas sort of option. St Kilda are playing Hawthorn. So, I mean, you know, who are you playing there? Does Paddy Dow get a gig? He might be a play. Port Adelaide are playing Geelong. Everyone's owned. So I don't think there's... If you're desperate for a ruck and say your Jordan Sweets and that aren't floating around, Matt Flynn is less than a month away, allegedly. He's joining in training, so he might be a desperation pickup. On the defensive side of the ball, you've got St Kilda against Hawthorn. Who's free that you can pick up? Sydney against Fremantle, who's free that you can pick up? West Coast against Collingwood, maybe there's someone there, but tough to see. Hawthorn, again, most players are owned. A tend to look for blocks on the DFS Australia website. So right in the middle, like say we're looking at wingers, Hawthorn have got a nice block of green matchups. That's why I thought Cam McKenzie was okay, but Dylan Moore just looms as just going fucking ham with running up the ground and getting on the end of it. So... I think there's something there for Hawthorn, but I'm not sure what. But, you know, check out DFS Australia, the matchup charts and all that sort of stuff will give you some indication if you're looking to make a deal or a steal, or if you're thinking about different plays than I'm suggesting. But they're sort of the guys I'll be looking at waivers. Again, it might be a good week to just chill out on them. Depending on your league, we use the 40% ownership rule on AFL Fantasy. So if you're in a shallower league, there'll be better options. If you're in a deeper league, there'll be deeper options. If you're in a super coach league, well, that's tough. Ninja Spoon, any advice for the startup drafts of all the salary cap players coming across this week? Yeah, tough in them streets for the salary cappers. It's part of the game. It's part of the game. I'm in a tough battle with Ninja actually at the minute in the goals only league, which I'm loving. I need one more snag to tie level. There are a few ties in this league. That is the one teensy tiny knock. Not as many as you'd imagine, but we need. I've got three players going against him. I've got Ben King, Noah Anderson, and Jake Rogers. He's got Joe Danaher. Ben King's on three goals. Joe Danaher's on two. I need one more snag from any of these three jobbers. Just waiting for Jake Rogers to get subbed. Oh, Ethan Reed's already subbed out. Good. Can't sub out my guy. Man, Dane Zorko's going ham in this one. Draft Doctor's customer intern help. Steve said that if this pod isn't about bagging the salary cappers, or slappers as he calls them, then I'll lose my internship. So come on, everyone, please, no salary cap questions like if you should hold Tom Green or trade. I really need the exposure that this role brings. Some of the blokes in the league actually finally found this account and said, What's going on here? Yeah, what's going on with salary cap? It's harden up, man. Jesus Christ. You didn't say anything for the first fucking 7 weeks, did you? There's a questionnaire at the end of each year. Warnie tweets it out frequently. So if you have any complaints about the game, scribble this down and remember when they ask for feedback on the platform on AFL Fantasy, submit this. Submit you want a TOG threshold. I don't know that it'll get across the line, but better than bitching on Twitter. Matty Faz, take away rolling lockouts and loopholes so these sookie salary dopes really know bad luck. Yeah, look, we have no loopholes in the home league. We do have a rolling lockout, but there is the honor system. Gentlemen's agreement to not loophole. It works well. Sometimes you just have to suck up a loss, man. It's just how it is, unfortunately. Barry the Pelican drafted the big O, but picked up Meek, who is outperforming him. What do you think Meek's prospects' job security is? Well, it won't have gone down after today, that's for sure. But big O is not really very good. They play a super high stoppage, and he still doesn't do much, which you would suspect someone like him should do well in that system, so not super surprising. Barry also says he can't really trade the big O, too many rucks in the league, but he can't really drop. He's in purgatory. So just bench him, man. Just bench him. Put Meek on the field. That's fine. Jordan, is this the worst trade you have seen go down except before the Carlton game? Nick Newman and Clayton Oliver for Max Holmes and Matt Kennedy. That's pretty bad. I can understand it. Man, if you bought low on Oliver at the exact right time, obviously Matt Kennedy was a great sell, just a fantastic sell. I can't believe they were talking about him as an option in salary cap. That was insane. That shows the intelligence of those people. Matt, I have Nank, Roma, and Meek in a certain unnamed promo relegation league. Why can't I move any of them in a trade while others in my league are playing Goldie or Big O? How do you get stubborn people to trade? Best offer I've had was Pendles for Nank. I think the problem is, and often I see rucks are a hard position to trade because you're trading something off the bench for something you want to get off their field. I understand what you're saying. It's an upgrade for them. If it was me and I desperately wanted to make a move here, I would be, say I wanted to, I looked at, you know, you have to look at these two teams, right? So it's the Goldie team and the Big O team. If I wanted to get, say, a defender, I would offer up my my D4, D5, with that player, whoever you wanted to trade, whether it's Nank or Meek, and just step up, right? Step up to a, I don't know, obviously not Sheasel, but like, you know, Jordan Clark, something like that. Like, you know, that's the deal you'll get done. Because you're giving them something that they can use on field. I understand it sucks for you. Maybe you just take their ruck back, but I mean, you probably don't do it in your situation, but that's the deal you're going to get done. Rucks really don't carry much value in trade, I've noticed. The Smith dog, Tom Green, got 7, so I moved 100 places further from a hat and got so mad the missus left me and now I'm sleeping on my mate's couch. Hey, well, look, you're one step away from sleeping in a racing car, okay? You might be hatless, but you'll be in that racing car. Steak, does Jack Hayes have more rest of season Supercoach relevance than Max King? That's a good question. It's North Melbourne. I wouldn't say, I don't have a great answer for that. Oh, yeah. I'm not a huge fan of either. It was North Melbourne. I'd give it one more week before I can't give you an answer on that. I think Max King's been okay till now. So I'd still say Max King, but that could go either way, really. Anonymous, what is different this year with May and can he keep this up? He's taken 25 marks in the last 2 weeks. So no, he can't keep that up. But it is pretty handy. One thing that's interesting is, I sort of looked at when Angus Brayshaw went down and the things he was really good at was getting intercepts in the midfield. So not that Steve King had many intercepts today. He just took a lot of marks. And the week before they played Richmond, I'm pretty sure, just from memory. And they're just great teams for defenders because they just give you all day to kick it to and chip. But no, he can't keep up 120s, but he's been a solid 80 player before, I want to say. Yeah, I'm okay with Stephen. I've got Stephen May in the keepers. He's a fine player. He's not a sexy player. If you wanted to sell high on Stephen May, maybe if you had Stephen May in that ruck situation, that'd be a good player to pair off with, and you could aim pretty effing high, I reckon. Maybe try aim for someone on who's had a down week, like a Bolton or a Whitfield in that situation. Mitchell, if we have both Caldwell and Reed, so yeah, that midfield, that's really, I think, the problem for the Melbourne midfield is that they're not getting the intercepts there. I could be wrong, but they've been extremely, extremely strong on that in the past. Clayton Oliver is in the top 20 there. For intercept midfielders, but last year I want to say they had just a massive amount in the top 20. Let's go. I just want to bring this up because I'm really interested about this because this is the sort of thing I love. Clayton Oliver was the number one. Angus Brayshaw was number 6. Ed Langdon was in the top 20. Lockie Hunter was in the top 20 by average. Jack Viney was like 30. So they were intercepting the ball through the midfield. And this year, I don't think that's quite the case. So you've only got Clayton Oliver's like 8 or 9, something like that. No one else in the top 20. And then Ed Langdon's like 40. So, you know, that's an interesting thing, isn't it? They were really strong at turning the ball over through the midfield, and this year none of those midfielders are getting it. So, you know, interesting. Jake Lever's getting a lot. Yeah. Anyway, we press on. There you go. Hopefully that's a bit of an answer. Mitchell, if we have both Caldwell and Reed, that's salary cap. Oh, wait, okay, he did get to draft. If we have both Caldwell and Reed in our forward line across both salary cap and draft, does that mean we can do double the whining? Yeah, sure, why the hell not? That's good. I'll give you, that's good. Guido's pit stops. Buy low on Tom Green. Yeah, man. If you can, I'll do it. Man, the salary cap is going to get him cheap in a few weeks. Ray, any current, oh, that's right. They all have him, don't they? Cause there was 8,000 comments on Twitter. Ray Adams, any current hot position versus opposition trends that stand out right now, other than halfbacks versus St Kilda and forwards versus North Melbourne, looking for players with a soft draw last three to start picking up for a finals run. So defenders against Richmond have been really strong. Midfielders against Richmond have been really strong. My suggestion would be to go to dfsaustralia.com and use their DVP, which is a matchup chart. That's what I use. I stopped doing it because I think theirs is really good and it, you know, saves me a lot of work. It's just a fantastic resource, fantastic website. You should contribute to it if you can financially. Their season-long DVP and DVP, oh, it's just amazing. It really is fantastic and just it's such a well-laid-out website. I can't say enough good things about it, but if you want to look that far ahead, you certainly can. It'll break it down into key forwards, general forwards, inside mids, rucks, wing defense, and that's an interesting thing because when I was doing mine, I was trying to split up between the wings and the halfbacks, but they are reasonably similar in terms of what they do from an output point of view. Although I did have mid forwards, whereas they've just got key forwards, general forwards. So that's one thing I did have a little bit differently. They got general defenders and designated kicks. It's just a fantastic resource. Certainly use it. Like I mentioned, Albaz, is it worth, cause you might, you know, do you want a midfielder? Do you want a defender? It's, you know, Albaz, is it worth getting TDK on the bench as a potential DPP forward? I believe it is. I've got him there myself. I've had him there in my home league, which is a Supercoach league, and we have the flex. I've got Briggs and Cherry on the field at the minute, but TDK is there. If he get, and this is where Matt Kennedy's interesting, if they get fully fit and they play Matt Kennedy forward, they may, I don't know, go back to just running one ruck. Now, Pitternet is probably the better ruckman, but TDK certainly offers a lot more versatility, so they may go with that. I think it could be a good move. If you've got the room, certainly do it. I'm keeping him. Miller Time, Salary Cap Pod's new favorite son turning on them. Yeah, it's it. Mate, any podcast that says I'm on, I've just said it's okay to use an AI version of myself. I would never, I don't even have a salary cap team. Don't even have one. So don't worry about it. Anonymous J, although I love the boys on the Pod, they do a great show. So, you know, get around them if you play that other format, which I don't. Anonymous, is LDU the biggest flop this year? He's certainly been the guy I went hardest on who's been pretty shit, although Carl Amon and George Wardlaw haven't exactly covered himself in glory. But when you take in draft position to account, I believe there are bigger flops. Let's quickly go through ADP. So it's Tim English, Bont, Marshall, Dacos, Zaret, Goulden. Clayton Oliver's ADP was 9, and until this week, he hasn't exactly been great. Tim Tirano, obviously he's injured, doesn't really count. James Sicily's been pretty ordinary, and we've, hey, man, if you follow this show, you know we were off James Sicily. He's, what's he averaging? Oh, this is the goals only league, so it doesn't have his average, but, He really hasn't done a whole lot. I know he was good this week, but when you consider how many good defenders there are, he's been down the pecking order a bit. Jack Sinclair, I know he had a good week this week, but he's, you know, he had that calf into the season and he's been pretty crummy. Who else? Brad Crouch obviously got injured. Kieran Briggs has been pretty bad for fantasy. Like, he was a bust. So LDU's there. I mean, Jack Viney's been pretty bad too, man. Is he averaging less than LDU? They've both been pretty horrendous. let's be honest. Where was Briggs drafted? Anyway, so yeah, there was a few busts. But yeah, LDU's been pretty ordinary. Jones Street Elite, what to do about Yo, waivers or find a trade? I think you hang on to him. I find it hard to believe someone's going to give you much for him, but I think you just hang on to him. He's too valuable to throw to the pool. Sam Gillis, Finn Callahan or James Peatling season, assuming T Green dead for a while. It's a good question. Peatling, I mean, he had more inside time. I expect Cogs to come back in and assume that midfield time. So I'm not massively on either one of them, but if, you know, you wanted to be speculative on Peatling, you can. Not sure I would. Aaron, I didn't get to see the game. Was Oliver back, baby? Oliver was back. Yes. Is it time to drop Gresham to the pool? I think you can. Gresham, I find really strange. He'll have good games out of the blue in what I would call a minus matchup, and then in plus matchups do nothing. So I find him a tough player to roster. I think at this point we've got enough intel on Essendon to suggest he's getting no midfield time, and he's a pretty tough own. So you can probably find a more reliable streamer. Although, as we saw today with St Kilda, they're not always going to cover themselves in glory. Darren, is it time to drop Ainsworth to the pool? It is not time, because our Suns have got North Melbourne on deck. Maybe we can win that one, although we lost it last year, so who fucking knows? Don't trust this Hardwick at all. I think the Suns have got three okay matchups in a row. You can probably do better, but again, with the matchup next week, I think it's not the right time. Archie, is Stephen Mayle real? He's real to the point he's a rosterable player, but he's not real to the point where he's going to take 12 marks a game. BJ Rush, fuck forwards. I agree. I played Tom Sparrow this week, and I feel lucky I did. So that's about it. That'll do it for this week, man. I hope the show was okay. 37 minutes, not too bad. I think Stato's back soon, but, you know, I'm having fun. We're getting there. Got to play Yarra Yarra on Monday. That was amazing. Just the greens were just too fast for me. Just so good, man. Absolutely pure. Four putted. Did birdie the last hole, so that was nice. Just 7 points in the last two holes and only 23 points for the round. Tough sledding, but the blog's back. You know, I've been writing a few entries there. We're still ticking off golf courses and all that sort of thing. So it's been good fun, and good luck in your matchups this week. There's certainly some buy lows out there, although, you know, it only takes one good match for them to be, you know, that value's gone. So you got to get those offers in. If you're having trouble with trades, certainly you can message us. That's fine. I know people want to get deals done, but you got to look for consistent roles. Like, players are going to have big spike weeks, like you're seeing from Peatling with Tom Green getting injured, Stephen May taking all the marks in the world. Just look for those consistent roles. If they're off halfback, they're going to have the Lachie Whitfield shitty match. You want those inside midfielders. You want the halfbacks. You want a good ruck. And we can fill in the rest on streaming with the good matchups, like the little green blocks. Use DFS Australia. You know the matchups. We've spoken about them ad nauseum, but that's how you want to do it. Do two-for-one trades. Open up a spot on your bench. Find the next guy off the waiver wire, because injuries are going to keep happening, man. Like, draft players know injuries keep happening because you have to roster. Like, that's the funny thing about salary cap is the bitch about Tom Green and half the competition own him. If I was playing a large-scale competition, sometimes not going with the crowd gives you a point of difference. So, I know if their play goes off, that's a good thing, but if they get hurt, like Tom Green did, you get that massive bonus. So, I don't know, man. There's buy lows, there's all that sort of stuff. Just look for the consistency roles. That's the process, and the results will take care of themselves. Week-to-week basis, there'll be a blip, but in the long haul, that's what we're looking for. And then, like the person was saying about looking for good matchups at the end, you can start doing that after those bye rounds. Because, like, if you looked at the scale now, it'd tell you Fremantle was a good matchup. Well, if Sean Darcy's back, it ain't that good a matchup. But when Luke Jackson's the solo ruck, it is a good matchup. So think about those sort of things. I think inside mids against Gold Coast weren't a good matchup coming into this round. Well, I mean, those guys for Brisbane are just going absolute ham. Because Gold Coast, but it looks like good on paper, Gold Coast went absolutely nuts against Hawthorn and Richmond, just beat them to an absolute pulp. Well, those midfields, you know, weren't exactly flying, but we got Josh Donkley on 130 at the start of the fourth quarter, Lockie Neal 125, Hugh McCluggage. Like, it's still early. Things are still working out the kinks. So we'll get there, guys. We'll get there. Just be consistent. We'll see you next week.
Thank you for listening to another episode of the Draft Doctors Podcast. Don't forget to subscribe and review.